You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
I have no further questions.
All right. Redirect, Mr. Pryor.
Dr. Raven, Ms. Blake went over a litany of other reports and statements from other witnesses, a variety of other documents. When a forensic pathologist is examining a variety of other documents that are not related to the medical reports and the scientific evidence, is that an example of confirmation bias?
Objection, Your Honor. Calls for speculation.
Overruled.
Is that an example of confirmation bias when you take into account all of these other reports, documents, statements of people who are not present at the murder?
So, and that's a difficult question. We don't honestly look at all those reports on any case, really. I've ever heard of such an exhaustive list because we don't have those reports available to us. Maybe over a two-year period, we would have them. I don't know. But we don't. Again, we always base it off scientific evidence, what we have in front of us, the autopsy. Either we have a cause of death or we don't. We try not to speculate. We try not to guess on what a cause of death is. There's lots of implications to that for anybody. So generally speaking, it is bias. If that's what you're using to determine a cause of death for, that's bias. Either you have a cause of death or you don't. And then again, if we had a case like this where we don't have a cause of death, we do just call it undetermined. And we put that list, what we've talked about today, these are potential findings, but we don't commit to one of those.
Okay. And to commit to some other information like a plastic bag or sitting on someone's chest or putting a pillow over somebody's face, would you agree that that would be conjecture, speculation, and hunch?
Without any evidence?
Yeah.
Of that? Yes, I believe so.
Okay. And at the present time, would it be your testimony that the logical conclusion in your mind that should be drawn from this is that the cause of death of Tammy Daybell would be undetermined?
Yes, in my opinion, it should be undetermined.
Judge, I have no other questions. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right.
And Judge, I would ask for a recross.
I don't think any door was open there, Ms. Blake, so I'll deny the request. All right, that'll conclude the testimony then of Dr. Raven. Is she going to remain under subpoena?
She is not, Judge. She's excused. And thank you, Dr. Raven.
You're welcome.
Does the state have any subpoena served on her?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay, that concludes your testimony. Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
All right, I'll let the witness step out. I think this would be the logical time to take the mid-morning recess as well. So once the witness has cleared the courtroom, we'll go ahead and have our break. All right, we'll take a 20-minute recess. Thank you.
All right, please. All right, folks, we'll return shortly. Please grab all of your belongings.
Thank you. Please be seated. We can have the jurors brought in, please. You may, Mr. Pryor. And who's the next witness you'll be calling, Mr. Pryor?
Regan Price.
Okay, thank you.
All right, please. Here's our present counter for you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Please be seated. Okay, we're back on the record on KCR 22-21-1623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. The defense continues its case in chief. Mr. Pryor, you may call your next witness.
Defense calls Regan Price.
You solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Okay, thank you.
All right, before we inquire, we did have a quick sidebar this morning on an inquiry on the exclusionary order. That does not relate to this witness, correct? The sidebar?
No.
Okay, thank you for the clarification, Mr. Pryor. So in this case, then, the witness is sworn, Ms. Price. I'll just have a few questions before we begin with your testimony. This trial has been publicly streamed online as well as reported in the news and open to the public here while it's taking place. Have you watched any of the testimony of any witness that's testified here in this trial?
No.
Okay. Have you talked to anyone else who has testified or talked to anyone about your testimony?
No.
Okay. Thank you for confirming that. Mr. Pryor, if you'd like to start with your direct, you may.
And Judge, before we start, I have Defense Exhibit 76 that I'm going to move for admission. It represents approximately a two-minute interview with Ms. Price. My understanding is that the state, Ms. Beatty, is going to stipulate to its admission.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Very well. Defense Exhibit 76, then, will be admitted.
Judge, if I may have 76 returned to me at some after it's marked and entered.
Okay, we'll have the clerks mark the exhibit and have that returned.
And while we're waiting, Judge, if I can start if you'd like, if I may.
Okay, if you want to go ahead and start with your direct, you may. And we'll just have the bailiff, now that he's got that, provide that to you, and then we can go.
Thank you. Good morning, Ms. Price.
Good morning.
And would you state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Yep, it's Regan Price, and it's R-E-E-G-E-N-P-R-I-C-E.
And Ms. Price, at some point in 2018, 2019, you were a neighbor of Mr. Daybell and Tammy Daybell. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And in relation...
I'm sorry. Could I get you to kind of talk right close to that microphone? It only picks it up if you're right next to it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And you noted that that was correct.
Yes, that's correct.
Can you tell me, did you live south of them off of 200? Is that fair?
Yes.
And across the street on the Salem Highway would have been Joe and Emma Murray?
Yes.
So then Joe and Emma would have been kitty corner to Chad. Is that correct?
Yes.
I'd like to draw your attention to September 9th of 2019. It's noted that you, at some point during that time, there are some reports that you heard some sort of a gunshot on that day. Do you recall that?
I do remember hearing gunshots on a certain day. I'm not for certain which date that is.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I'm...
Okay. And when you say gunshots, was it gunshots or gunshot?
To my knowledge, I remember there was maybe one, but...
Okay. Okay. And to your recollection, you believe that it may or may not have been on September 9th?
I don't have a date.
Did you have an occasion to contact law enforcement and talk to them about that?
On a day that we did contact law enforcement, there was a couple things that we had discussed that was unusual, but it wasn't on that specific day with the shooting.
Okay. And at some point you've discussed this case with law enforcement on a couple of occasions. Is that fair?
That's correct.
Okay. One of those would have been on or around June 9th of 2020?
I don't know the date, but...
Okay. And then, again, you had one on May 5th of 20. Do you recall that as well? A longer discussion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. And Judge, I'd like to publish Defense Exhibit 76, if I could.
You may.
I might need some assistance. Just trying to the volume, if you could. We're going to get everybody to help.
And that across, you know, because we weren't around them a lot, but the few times we were, it's easy to remember because we weren't around them a lot.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks for talking with me. I appreciate it. I'd like to get back to your kids, and I'm sure we're all you're all over the news right now. Fox News.
You know what, CNN, I was actually kind of glad that it wasn't all day. I'm like, are we going to hear that like all day? Because it was like nice. This is the most peaceful this road has been in so long.
Don't have to worry about kids. No one here. So
why not? They'll probably like this. Not cars.
We seriously do, because we were going to build our house this year, but I told you like we wanted to get the rest of our debt paid off before we built it. We're just going to build back.
Judge, could we have just a moment?
Yes.
Let's get out of that first.
And to just clarify, was that part of Exhibit 76 that was being published there?
I believe so, Judge. Yes.
Thank you.
Am I ready? Let's try again, Judge. You may want to stick around.
Found something.
Yeah. It's good. Everything is good right now. Everything's a good thing.
I didn't know everything will come out eventually. Yeah. You know, just makes the curiosity, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do I do? Well, it was just playing, right?
Yeah, but are you able to tell the timestamps from?
I can't really tell the timestamps, but I want to play the entire 2 minutes. Oh, it doesn't matter. I think we're ready, Judge.
All right. Give me just a moment here. Let me consult with
staff. And you're
going to have another person maybe take a look at that, Mr. Pryor, to see if any additional assistance on that device.
You heard a gunshot then?
Yeah, and they said it was a raccoon. And it was about that same time. We had set the timeline to Ron because we checked our phone, and it was like the Rob Lynch. Is that the prosecuting?
Uh-huh.
Okay. We had talked to them, and we had looked it up on our phone records when to try to put it together.
Yeah.
You know? But like our neighbors up here, like they will go shoot birds and stuff in the mornings. And so we'll hear that sometimes, but it was close. And like our window, our bedroom window is right here. And we sleep with the window open most of the time.
Did you see anybody out there?
No, but we just heard it. So that's what we were thinking. We're like, you know, it wasn't afternoon because he would have been at work. That it would have been morning. So. Anyways, we'll just keep thinking.
Yeah, no, and even details that you're like, that's probably nothing. We take them. Right.
Well, that's what we decided after we told him, because we're like, we sat on it for a while and then we're like, well, maybe it will help, you know. So
yeah,
just our timeline experience with them.
Yeah, you know,
because we weren't around them a lot, but the few times we were, it's easy to remember because we weren't around them a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, thank you. Thanks for talking with me. I appreciate it. I'd like to get back to your kids, and I'm sure we're all being you're all over the news right now, Fox News.
CNN. I was actually kind of glad that it wasn't all day. I'm like, are we going to hear that like all day? Because it was like nice. This is the most peaceful this road has been in so long.
Don't have to worry about kids. No one here. So
why not? Probably like this, not cars.
We seriously do, because we were going to build our house this year, but I told you like we wanted to get the rest of our debt paid off before we built it. We're just going to build that here. And we went out there to scope out where we were going to put it. And I'm like, do you hear that?
Judge, I can stop at this point.
Like just that much further away from it and you don't hear it. Cool. Good.
At least I think I can.
All right.
So, Ms. Price, you've heard the audio tape. And I believe that goes back to June 9th of 2020. Do you recall that now?
If that's the date. But yes, I remember that conversation that I had. Okay.
And then you made some comment that you heard a shot and there was some discussion about raccoons. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then there was a further discussion about you, and it's unclear who you provided a timeline to, but you provided a timeline to somebody. Do you recall?
So my husband and I both discussed just some strange events that happened with the Daybells over the last year.
Okay.
And it was my husband and I creating a timeline together because, like I've stated, I don't have any dates.
Okay.
But there was enough going on that we were trying to figure out where everything was so that by the time we did talk to a detective or a police officer, it was informational and resourceful and beneficial to them.
Do you recall in a later interview where there was a discussion about you and your husband, and your husband made some mention about it, that he'd be a really good detective? Do you remember that discussion?
I remember that in the audio, but...
Okay.
That was my husband, not me.
Okay. And do you remember the discussion that you would work through Joe Murray to try to get some information about locating the kids?
I do. I remember that.
And that you'd be willing to wear a wire?
I do. I remember that. There was children missing and I was willing to do whatever it took to find these children.
Right. And then in addition, there was some talk about the fact that your husband in the past had plowed up, done some cultivation for Joe's garden or something like that.
Yeah, that's correct. He did it for a lot of the neighbors around the neighborhood.
And Officer Kay had offered to...
Objection, hearsay.
Was there a discussion about using...
Hold on. There's a pending objection. It's sustained.
Was there a discussion about using police funds to help pay $50?
Objection, hearsay.
Sustained.
Did you engage in any discussion regarding accepting payment from the police to doing certain...
Objection, hearsay, misstates the evidence.
Overruled.
Did you do any kind of a discussion with the police for some sort of payment to work with the police and regarding the Daybell case?
I think in reference to that conversation that you're talking about, Officer Kay just comically said that, and it was more of a personal, it wasn't as an officer using officer funds.
And you took that as a joke, is that right?
I did.
All right, nothing else, Judge. Thank you.
All right, Ms. Beatty, cross-examination once you're ready.
Good morning, Ms. Price. Do you prefer that I call you Ms. Price or that I call you Regan?
Whatever you prefer.
Okay. I'll go with Ms. Price. So you testified that at some point you heard a gunshot, correct?
I did, yes.
And that was in the early morning? Was that your testimony?
I believe it was.
Do you remember what day that took place? I believe it was your testimony that you didn't remember the specific day?
Yes, I don't remember the date.
Do you remember the time frame?
I don't. Just looking back at the audio, being refreshed with that, but as far as it's been 4 years, to my knowledge, it was just based off of that. It was morning, afternoon time, but not a specific time.
Could it have been at some point before September 9th?
Definitely.
Could it have been at some point after September 9th?
I don't recall it was after September 9th.
Okay. And out in the country, is it uncommon for people to have guns?
No, it's very common for people to have guns.
Okay. Now, you briefly testified about your discussion with Officer K. Would that be Detective Kaya Kamanu?
It is, yes.
Okay. And you joked around with him?
Very briefly.
Did you ever accept payment from law enforcement?
Never.
Okay. And if I may have just one moment.
You may.
And I have no further questions for this witness.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Beatty. Oh, hold on. We've got redirect possibly.
Sorry.
You may.
Ms. Price, you don't have a direct recollection of when you heard that gunshot, correct?
I don't.
But did you recall hearing on the audio tape that it was a that there was a combination of a gunshot, a raccoon, and the name Chad Daybell? How often does those three happen on a particular day?
Objection misstates the testimony, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Judge, I have nothing else. Thank you.
All right. That will conclude the testimony of this witness. I don't know if she's appearing under subpoena. If so, I'd like to inquire whether or not she can be released from the subpoena.
And Your Honor, I believe the state did have her under subpoena. We would release her from our subpoena at this point.
And Judge, the defense has her under subpoena, and we're releasing her as well.
Okay. That concludes your testimony, then. You can go ahead and leave.
And Judge, could we have a quick sidebar?
Yes. All right, counsel, I've had a sidebar in terms of scheduling. The defense has two more witnesses that are scheduled to appear today. One hasn't quite arrived because I guess we went a little quicker through the morning than anticipated. The other will be here shortly after the lunch break. So at this time, there are some matters the court can take up to use this time on a few motions and things that would be outside the presence of the jurors as well. We're going to go ahead and take another recess at this point. And then once the witness shows up for before lunch, we'll call that witness. We'll take up a few other hearings, and then we'll call the next witness directly after lunch. So we'll take another break at this time.
All right, please.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right, counsel, there's a few things that we can do outside the presence of the jurors, but the matter of exhibits is something I think we're going to need more time from the court side to prepare. And at some point before these jurors receive exhibits for deliberations, the court intends to have a conference regarding exhibits to make sure they've all been properly identified and marked before they are submitted for those deliberations. But that is going to take some time with the clerks as well as the court to work through the list and address the ones we have questions on. So I'm not sure we will be doing that today. There was another matter that Mr. Wixom brought up, I think, that we could potentially just clarify on the record before we take a recess here. Mr. Wixom.
Thank you, Your Honor. Judge, may I remain seated?
You may.
Thank you. Judge, I just wanted to call to the court's and the defense's attention under my duty of candor to the court some information that came in through a witness a few weeks ago that we subsequently found at least is inaccurate. We don't have any reason to believe it was intentional at all. But the court and counsel might recall that we called Heather Daybell as a witness, and in doing so asked a few questions specific to whether or not she had provided any information to Officer David Hope. David Hope was her daughter's father-in-law, and she had answered no. In fairness, and looking back at the record, I think in fairness, she probably perceived that question as having done so on a personal basis. After her testimony a day or two later in preparation for a different witness, I had reviewed another police report, in this case, there are many, but had for the first time found her name referenced in an entirely different report with David Hope. It did not appear that she gave any information in that, but she was in an interview with that officer. We immediately, once we realized this, disclosed that to the defense so they could be aware of it. If there's any, they felt any need to call that to the jury's attention and the court's attention. At least up until this point, I don't believe they've felt that need. I think it's probably fairly inconsequential, other than after the testimony, we became aware that it was inaccurate testimony. Again, not disparaging Ms. Daybell. I don't think she at all intended to give incorrect testimony. I think it's been 5 years since this case began, and I think it was probably just an oversight on her part, if not confusion from the line of questioning. So again, out of candor, we just wanted to note that for the record, make sure the court knew about it and make sure that the defense knew. And I think they've known for a few weeks now. So just wanted to call back the court's attention.
All right. So the state's made a proffer regarding a perceived inaccuracy or actual inaccuracy in testimony. Mr. Pryor, does the defense wish to respond in any way on that?
Just very briefly, Judge. Mr. Wixom, actually, right after Ms. Daybell's testimony, provided me another one of his very late communications to me that day. And this is a non-issue. There is no issue here whatsoever. There is nothing that I would even suggest is some inaccurate disclosure. I absolutely agree with Mr. Wixom's assessment that this was not something that is inconsistent with what Heather Daybell said to this tribunal or even to the jury. So in my opinion, there's absolutely no issue here.
Okay. Well, what the court could potentially do to cure that would be to require Ms. Daybell, if she were subpoenaed either by the parties or under the court's own initiative, to return for further testimony. And based on your comments, Mr. Pryor, I would understand you would waive or forego the right for additional testimony based on that disclosure. Is that correct?
Judge, there is absolutely no reason to bring Ms. Daybell back for any further indication on this thing. Again, I want to make it very clear for the record that this is inconsequential and there is absolutely no issue here whatsoever.
Okay.
And I appreciate Mr. Wixom being so forthright and candor, even if it was in the middle of the night when he let me know.
All right. So we'll go ahead and consider the matter resolved on the record then and notified duly to the defense on that issue. At this time then, if counsel wants to remain available, there may be another matter I think we might be able to take up in regards to jury sequestration on issues I may want to discuss with you today to use some of this time. If we have a lapse in time also, that would likely be done outside of the public presence as it would discuss matters related to the jurors. So we'll go ahead and remain on this break. Once your witnesses arrive, Mr. Pryor, let us know, and then we'll figure out how to best use our time today before your next witness arrives after lunch.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, we'll be in recess.
All right.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right, I believe we're ready to have the jurors brought back in, and then we can go on the record.
All right, please. Please, Officer, Your Honor.
All right, thank you. Please be seated. All right, we'll take just a moment to make sure our tech's working here on the live stream, please. Okay, we are back on the record on case CR 22-21-1623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. We've returned from the lunch recess we scheduled early today. Mr. Pryor, I believe you've got another witness here ready to call. Is that correct? You may. So the defense continues with its case in chief. And once you are ready, Mr. Pryor, you can name and call your next witness, please.
Judge, the defense called Asmir Kararik.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.